Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news. And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire at New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. A ton of stuff to get to today. Michael, let's begin with you. One of the things we hope to accomplish on this program is to inform the electorate, to have educated citizenry out there, and you have a wonderful voter guide. The election is just a few weeks away. I know it's an off-year election, Michael, but what's at stake this November in Pennsylvania? And tell us what's on this brand new voter guide that you guys have.
Well, the election day for Pennsylvania is Tuesday, November 5th, and we encourage all folks to get out and vote because though this is called an off-year election, it is vitally important, and that's one of the reasons why we continue to produce a voter's guide to help voters cast educated ballots when they go into the voting booth. And this time around, our state judicial races, Superior Court is one of the races that's involved in that. Our voter's guide is pafamilyvoter.com, and what they can find there is information on these judicial races. We talk about the Superior Court, County Court, Court of Common Pleas, plus there's information on our website on the statewide ballot question called Marcy's Law. Yeah. So it's pafamilyvoter.com where people can find out more information.
And I know we'll get a ton of emails and letters and phone calls from people wanting to know how they can get their hand on that voter guide. They make it real easy in Pennsylvania. Jason, I hate to say I told you so. You have said that before when it comes to this childhood vaccine debate in New York and when they eliminated the religious exemption. You said on this program, just you wait. They're going to push to make the HPV vaccine, the human papillomavirus vaccine, mandatory, and that is exactly what is happening. State Senator Brett Hoyman trying to make this mandatory. What is this vaccine, and why do our listeners need to be concerned?
Yeah, you know what? This is an interesting issue to watch because we knew the progression of how this would happen. So once you remove the religious exemption to vaccinations, you simply add additional vaccinations to the process. HPV is something that is gained through a sexually transmitted way. This is not something that is communicable by sitting in the classroom. Yeah. And yet there are some state officials that are looking to make the HPV mandate mandatory upon all students entering the sixth grade. Now, again, we don't really have a problem with vaccinations per se. This is a parental rights decision. But it's a whole different thing when the state seeks to mandate something for a sexually transmitted disease before you can attend school in the sixth grade.
All right, we'll keep our eye on that one. I know a lot of folks are worried about that. Let's talk about the marijuana debate. That is huge. There's a marijuana summit going on between Governor Wolf and Governor Cuomo. They seem to be, Michael, on the same page here as far as full-blown legalization. There was an interesting poll this week. I know you probably saw it from Susquehanna polling data that contradicts what John Fetterman's been saying about public support. Apparently, this is not as widely popular as the Lieutenant Governor thinks it is. I imagine you're not too surprised by Fetterman's inflated figures.
No, not surprised at all. I mean, Fetterman's figures come from his bogus listening, so-called listening tour, marijuana listening tour. He went to all 67 counties, but set up his tour in such a way that he went to college towns and gave very short notice to the community when he was coming into town so that it was biased very much in favor of the lieutenant governor's bias, which is full-on Colorado, full-blown legalization and commercialization of marijuana in our state. And yet the Susquehanna polling is showing that fewer than 4 in 10 Pennsylvanians support legalization of marijuana. And you could even take that number down even further because a lot of people think that legalization is the same thing as decriminalization, and they're two different things.
Yeah.
Decriminalization means that we won't put people in jail for having small amounts of marijuana, but legalization is commercialization where you get big tobacco putting marijuana stores all over the place and all sorts of products being commercially promoted in the community, including the children, as is proven out the case in Colorado.
Yeah, and in Pennsylvania, you've got the resistance in the General Assembly to this, but in New York State, Jason, you don't, and I imagine this will be item number one or near the top when the session gets underway in January.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, you always say follow the money in politics. And with the state facing, again, these billion-dollar holes in the budget, Albany is looking for ways to plug the hole. And so they are discussing how they can best tax marijuana. And hence, that's the commercialization aspect of it as well, is once the state draws revenue from the sale of marijuana through those tax dollars, it will have no reason to hold back, but it will certainly be incentivizing and encouraging marijuana sales to puff up the Albany budget. And that's what we're afraid of in our state capitol.
All right, let's stay at the New York State Capitol. Jason, speaking of polls, we mentioned Susquehanna poll there earlier. Siena College had a poll out this week. To break it down, Reader's Digest form, Cuomo's numbers are improving. Most New Yorkers oppose dividing the state, and most are supporting impeachment of the president. Of course, this is New York State, so maybe that doesn't surprise you. Your thoughts as you look at that poll?
Yeah, it's not uncommon to see the numbers of the governor actually increasing this time of year. He does not have the legislature in Albany offering any form of alternative voice or pushback on any issue. I mean, the governor really drives the agenda, and so he takes the off-session months to try to run up the polls to get some political capital to spend as the legislature will come back in January. You know, regarding the impeachment issue, this is New York State. We understand that the numbers are always very difficult for President Trump here, and I think it's just something that we're going to have to deal with here in this state, particularly in upstate regions. Folks that are supportive of the president's agenda are going to have to be vocal about it, as it's going to be an uphill slog for some months to come.
Yeah, Michael, last week with Tom, you weren't here, but Tom bragged on this Church Ambassador Network that you guys have launched, kind of partnering the politics of Harrisburg with the work of evangelism, and not just influencing legislation, but influencing legislators. Beto O'Rourke made some news. A lot of people missed it. This wasn't one of the sanctions debate. This was one of those town hall meetings where he said he would support the removal of a church's tax-exempt status if it did not endorse same-sex marriage. How worried do churches need to be in Pennsylvania? I imagine he's probably not the only one running for president who holds those views.
I think you're right. I don't think he's the only one running for president on the Democratic side that hold those views.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't seem to have much respect for the Bill of Rights and the Constitution of the United States, which should strike fear in not only in churches, but in everyone when you have candidates who don't respect our Constitution and Bill of Rights. I think churches need to very closely pay attention to this, and nonprofit ministries that are supported with tax-deductible contributions, because we have been hearing for a long time the left and those who oppose people of faith and people who hold that marriage is the union of one man and one woman, that these tax deductions, these tax benefits that come from being a nonprofit, a 501c3 like churches, that's actually a government subsidy. And so they'll do one of two things. They'll either say, we're going to take that tax exemption away from you, or we're going to start imposing regulations and guidelines on you with sexual orientation and gender identity and laws and other things that make it impossible to live out your faith. So It's very dangerous, and people should get engaged to stop this.
All right, and I want to give you both a chance because you were both at the Values Voters Summit last weekend in our nation's capital. The president spoke for nearly 2 hours at that event. I know the general election for the 2020 race is still over a year away, but the folks are getting ready. Jason, what was your takeaway from that big event in D.C.?
I tell you, I always appreciate going out for that event because, you know, I'm in a deep blue state, and sometimes you can feel like you're all alone and taking the stand for the values that you do. And when you go to an event like that, you're surrounded by people that are like-minded, that share some common values. It reminds you that there's still 7,000 that haven't yet bowed the knee to Baal. So it's a real encouragement to be around people that are willing to fight for the values that we care about, life, faith, family, and freedom.
Yeah,
and
I was going to ask you, Mike, we use that as almost like a punchline or a bumper sticker. What are values voters? And what kind of a difference are they making in the culture today?
Well, I think they're making a big difference. You know, they're not just values, but values voters. And I think the vote is the right to vote, and exercising that vote is part of what makes a difference. What I come away from a conference like that is the understanding that personnel is policy. When you have a president like President Trump who stands for the sanctity of life, for example, that means that people who populate the administration and all kinds of different agencies and things hold to those same values, and you find these great people in the Department of Health and Human Services and Department of Education and elsewhere standing for those same principles. That's where we really see the difference. The people in those places make a difference in the policy, and that's why voting for the right people make such a difference.
All right, and that will have to be the last word this week. We'll pick up again with more important issues next week. If you've got questions, maybe want to get your hand on one of those voter guides, Michael, where can folks go and get one of those?
Well, the Voters Guide website is pafamilyvoter.com.
All right, and in New York State, your website, Jason McGuire.
AlbanyUpdate.com.